Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just looking at my Twitter timeline here, Brian Broaddus says the first down runs were a disaster from a blocking standpoint as a whole. We'll visit with him throughout the week on the radio station, I know. Warren Sharp had this on Twitter. When can you count real seconds during a slow motion replay? Last night, Collinsworth on the with 4 seconds left, they're showing a slow motion replay. He's like, all right, there's one, two.
Yeah, that was the best moment of the first half. Dude, and Al Michaels didn't even say anything. He was like, all right, we'll just let this guy do dumbass stuff.
I'm seeing a lot of Mavs Media Day on my timeline, and a couple things. Carlisle went on a rant, apparently, about analytics, and he said the mid-range stuff doesn't really work for anybody.
No.
Well, that's interesting. I would beg to differ on that, but it's not what we're shooting for.
Mm-hmm.
If you look last year, I think Golden State was in the top three or four in mid-range shots, and they were pretty damn successful. What this team wants to be is they want to put up a lot of threes or get a lot of stuff right at the rim. They're moving in there. You know who they're going to sort of model their team after? It's going to be similar to what Milwaukee did with their team. That's what the Mavs will look like.
These pictures of Porzingis at Media Day are fantastic. First of all, he makes Luka look tiny. What's Luka, 6'7"?
I believe he's 6'8". Yeah, 6'7 and a half, somewhere in there.
He looks tiny compared to the tallest guy in the league. And Porzingis is ripped now.
Yep.
He said he came into the league at 223, soaking wet and with a towel on.
Mm-hmm.
He's 242 now and shredded. And he said he didn't want to put too much weight on for his brand new knee.
Okay, and we didn't get into this much. I know actually G-Bag Nation hit it last year as they now do more basketball than we do on our show. But the Klay Thompson story, where Klay Thompson had a knee injury that's an ACL, and there's a lot of evidence to suggest that you should wait 2 years before you get back out there. Guys, if you want to see what Porzingis by the time he gets back out there on the floor, it's going to be pretty close to 2 years. He is, Carlisle said real emphatically, he's completely rehabbed. So I took that as meaning, hey, we may occasionally rest a guy on the second night of a back-to-back, just like we did Luka a couple times last year. But I don't see this as there's minute restrictions on Kristaps Porzingis.
Also, technically, real quick, guys, a little breaking news brought to you by the Radio.com app and also Indeed.com/hire. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Todd Archer reporting the Cowboys fear Kayvon Frazier suffered a pec tear in Sunday's loss. Depending on the location of the tear, that could require surgery, and that would put him out for the year.
Dude,
come back from pecs depending on the location of it. So.
That's the deal with our backup offensive lineman out of Penn State.
Connor McGovern.
Yeah, he had a pec thing, and it's like that thing lingers forever.
It absolutely does.
That's unfortunate, and a super dude, does a lot in the community with charity and stuff. I'd hate to see that for him on a personal level. But on a personal level, huge opportunity yesterday to fill in for a legend. Brad Sham, due to a religious holiday, was unable to call the game. So do you guys say this is his second game he's missed?
Second, 39 years.
39 wow. years.
So, I think 41 they were, years.
Maybe. I thought they were both Rosh Hashanah, too.
Yeah.
Well, Ted Emmerich filled in for him. Ted Emmerich, son of Roger Emmerich. We had Ted on our show, and he's a brilliant young broadcaster with a super bright future. He filled in. And so this is where we usually do Sham Goes Ham. But instead of that, since it's Ted Emmerich, we're going to do Ted Goes Fed!
Hopefully I get an opportunity to go lots of ham.
That hit a giant!
No.
I don't know what the hell they're doing here.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Touchdown! Michael Irvin!
Prepare yourselves.
Move over, sweetness! Make a place for Emmett!
For Sham Goes
Fed! To the 10! 5! Lock the door! Touchdown, Barry!
All right, let's start it off. Saints' first offensive possession. Teddy Bridgewater rolling to the right, and this happened.
Bridgewater found Thomas on third and long just a moment ago. Thomas split wide to the right, matched up with Ouzier. Three receivers bunched to the left. Bridgewater out of the gun, third and 13. Bridgewater being chased, rolling to his right. Bridgewater pumping. Bridgewater fires high. It is incomplete off the hands of Ginn and intercepted by the Cowboys. Dallas has its first interception of the season.
That sounds so legit.
I know. Yeah. That's what I thought, too. Like, anytime I've heard a highlight from yesterday, that's my first thought is I was just listening. I wasn't thinking, who is this? Yeah. Or in any way. Or, wow, look, he's holding. I was just like, this sounds like NFL play-by-play.
I have the same. And, look, Ted is new to the Cowboys broadcast, but he's been doing stuff for a long time. It's not like they just dropped this guy in without a ton of.
He's done everything under the sun.
Yeah.
Golf, Olympics, basketball, base. He's done it all.
I do have these. I had this early on when Jared first came over because we had known Jared for a long time. But the first time I really heard Jared do a Ranger game, I was so struck by this sounds like a broadcaster as opposed to this sounds like the Jared guy that we all know. And I have that same sensation with Teddy. Yeah. You know, we had Teddy in studio last week, but Ben and I first met Ted when he was in high school. And so you've known someone for a really long time, but then to separate yourselves from knowing the person and hear them do the broadcast, you're just going, that sounds like a badass, legit play-by-play guy.
Here's the Malik Collins sack that ended a Saints drive early in the game.
Third and 7 at the Cowboys 15. Bridgewater steps forward as he relays the audible. Play clock down to 2, down to 1. He's got the snap. Cowboys bring a blitz. Bridgewater twisted around. He's dropped. Back at the 25, Malik Collins, the penetration and the sack on third down.
Right. I mean, you can't ignore the sack.
No. Oh, no, especially in a penetration situation.
Right.
Cowboys trailing 6-3. It's third.
The penetration.
I might hire him for the house.
Wait, what would you use him for?
To teach my kids how to do play-by-play.
Oh,
yeah. Because they could want to work in broadcast arts one day.
Yeah.
Let the boy watch.
6-3 Cowboys trail the Saints. Third down and 4. Cowboys need to get the offense going. And Dak goes to Old Faithful, Jason Witten.
Dak all alone in the gun. Play clock to 5. He's got the snap. Just a 3-man rush. Prescott wires it over the middle. Caught by Witten. Turning upfield. He lost the football. It's fumbled and recovered by Von Bell of the Saints. Coming near side right at the 45. Tripped up at the 40-yard line.
All right. I wonder how difficult that is. Just for play-by-play guys in general. But for Ted, I mean, he hasn't been calling NFL games. But listen how quickly he knows exactly who that was.
That was awesome. And Superdome, too, you're pretty... Well, I don't know what their broadcast location is, but the press box, you're closer to the ceiling than you are the floor. Like, you're way up there.
One thing that is true of all the good play-by-play guys that I've met or, you know, interacted with or whatever, is they all have amazing recall. And so they do so much research going in. I guarantee you that on Sunday morning, if you just... And I bet Ted knew the number of the guys that were number 47 on the roster.
Absolutely.
You know, he just knows that stuff inside out, knows their positions, and where they have spotters, too. But a guy at Ted's age, as sharp as he is with that recall, he's going to be all over it.
It's hard. I've done play-by-play at Texas at AT&T Stadium before, and where they put you to do the game, I mean, you're not at the 50-yard line. So it's very difficult angles sometimes to see and see the number on the field and things like that. So.
You kind of got to know where a guy is and what position he's playing, and then your brain kind of shifts you to what you should be saying.
Cowboys do get the ball back, though, trailing 6-3 still. And what? Jason's going to go for it on 4th and 1?
Are you serious?
All right.
Cobb in motion left to right, 4th and 1. Here they go. Handoff Elliott burrowing up the middle, and he dives ahead to the 45. He should have the first down. The Saints are signaling as if they made the stop. Does New Orleans have the ball? Did Elliott lose it?
Fumble recovered by the defense.
Elliott disappeared into the crowd, lost the fumble. Von Bell with his second recovery of this first half. And on 4th and 1, the Cowboys lose their second fumble here tonight.
So uncharacteristic. First the Witten fumble, then the Zeke fumble. And I really didn't think he fumbled it. And it was almost like one of those things when you're watching, you're like, oh, my God, look at the Saints. Wishful thinking. They're trying to call a fumble.
Yeah.
And they're like, wait, are the refs allowing the Saints to call a fumble here? Oh, my God, the Saints players have determined it is their ball. It's like, wait, what the hell's happening?
No, that's a great point. It felt that way because I guess I got to go back and watch it, but I didn't feel like I saw any officials motioning that that happened. It felt like the Saints were saying that, and the refs were like, oh, you're right. That guy's got the ball right now. Let's go ahead and call a fumble, and then you go to the booth where you need conclusive evidence to reverse it. So much of that has to do with that initial call.
One thing I would teach, if I was defensive coordinator, I would teach my defense, anytime there's a fumble, just all of you just start pointing like you have it.
Yeah.
Put the peer pressure
right
on the refs.
Right.
Because the refs are now being taught, they don't always do it, but they're being taught to let it go. If it's a fumble, you let it play and then you count on review because it's going to be reviewed either way.
Right.
You can count on review to save your butt. That's
right.
What they've been taught to do. So just everyone just point like you have the ball. Even if you know that you don't, point like you have it.
Influence.
The same also gets thing. The crowd into it as well.
It's the same thing as a receiver. Every time a receiver gets up, he starts reaching to throw the flag.
And stuff.
Oh, hell, I should throw the flag. He's telling me to do it.
So they dodge the bullet, though. Only give up a field goal. 9-3. Cowboys get the ball. Their first drive of the third quarter. They're driving down the field. And wait, they put Blake Jarwin in the game. And then what happened?
What?
Second down and 11. Prescott with the play fake. Dak wires it over the middle. Caught in stride. Blake Jarwin inside the 5. Down at the 2. Marcus Williams makes the tackle. A 35-yard strike from Prescott to Jarwin. The Cowboys are in the Sherwin-Williams red zone.
All right.
That was a huge play.
It was good to be in the red zone.
Yeah.
Didn't get there much.
Then you get you some Zeke action.
By the way, Kavanaugh with a tweet here that's problematic. Pro Football Reference tracks broken tackles this year. How many tackles do you guys think Zeke's broken this year?
Like 4.
I'm going to say he hasn't broken one, Ben.
It's right in between you guys. 2.
I'm going to say 2.
I'm going to say 2.
Yep. You got it, Shippy.
Okay. Yeah.
Kamara had 3 plays in which he broke 3 tackles on the same play last week against Seattle.
Oh, no.
That is showboating.
But we are at the 1-yard line, and you don't need to break tackles when you're at the 1, do you,
no.
Zeke?
Jumbo set. Cameron Fleming checks in as well on the right side. I formation. Give it to Elliott. He's digging up the middle. Diving for the goal line. He's across. Touchdown, Dallas.
All right, so 10-9. Got the score. Let's start the last really exciting play that was huge in the game, and this is what will cap off Sham Goes Ham. This is the Teddy Bridgewater sack. Ted goes for Fred.
Oh.
Yeah. Fred.
Fred.
Teddy Bridgewater. Trying to stay in field goal range, but not doing that.
Right foot in front of his left. He's got the snap with 2 gloved hands. Blitzer off the edge from the backside. Bridgewater is buried back at the 33. Robert Quinn with the sack on 3rd down.
Oh, man.
You okay over there?
Yeah, sorry. I just didn't set that up. I didn't set that clip up very well.
I thought Teddy was going to kick a field goal.
Yeah, I do.
Man, if there's a lack of offense, it could have been Ted goes to bed, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Ted
goes spread. That's what I'm going with.
Words, like words offense, Ted, you know? Said.
Oh, that's good.
Words Ted said.
Words Ted said.
Words Ted said. He'll be back again.
Right said Fred.
He'll be back again in the next 4 years. He'll get an opportunity to do one of these Brad Sham games.
Who says?
The pennant.
Who says?
The pennant.
Yeah.
Who says it has to... Who says it has to rhyme? Could be Ted Talk.
Oh, yeah. Hey, all in all, brilliant job by Ted Embrick.
He's a beast.
And a salute to Brad Sham. It's pretty cool that his faith is so important to him that he would miss the game to show what's most important in his life. And just all around, well done, man. I'm proud of Ted. I know you guys are too. Pretty spectacular work.
If you want to hear Brad, the Cowboy Hour tonight will air at 7 on the Fan.
Oh,
so
wow.
Some of that action.
So that's proof that baseball season is now over.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We'll have our final show of the year with JD tomorrow as we talk about the Rangers' future as well as that incredible stuff they did out at Globe Life. We'll get into all that tomorrow. But coming up next, there's more NFL action we need to get to. Ben will take us through all of it next right here on The Fan.